This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a CEO and founder, Stephen Kohler. Stephen's the founder of Audira Labs, and he's going to talk to us about the business, his priorities, advice for entrepreneurs, and a little bit more. Stephen, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm pleased to be with you. I'm Stephen Kohler. I live in Chicago, father of two beautiful children, married for 21 years, passionate musician, passionate leadership coach, and lifelong learner.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us about, are the two kids in school now? Are they going to school remotely, in person, or how's that going?
Thank you.
And then we'll talk
asking.
About the business.
Oh, great. Yes, it's been a grand adventure. I have an older son who's a sophomore in high school. He has currently been virtual only, and he's about to transition into a hybrid program. The younger one, who's in junior high, he's 11, has been going in person, and lots of interesting learnings along the way.
How has, just for a moment, the in-person been going? Has there been lots of concerns at home about, you know, him getting contagious or getting coronavirus, or the teacher scared about it? Just give us 2 seconds on that, then I promise I'll get to the business of discussion.
Oh, sure. Not a lot of concern on our standpoint, only because we're very fortunate to have a school system that is, I think, put a lot of great safeguards in place. Honestly, I think it's always a balance between making sure that we're physically safe, but also that there's some social emotional connection and support going on too. So we're really happy that in our case, our younger son's been able to go to kind of maintain both that safety and also connection with his classmates.
Last question before we get started. Musician, what kind of musician, and if you sing, can you sing?
I play multiple instruments. My primary instrument is guitar. I'm an aspiring vocalist, which is to say that I wouldn't dare try on this call. But I love to compose. I love to record and perform during normal times.
Well, we'll do our best to get you on a separate podcast where we get you to practice singing and see how that goes. But for the moment, let's talk about Audira Labs. And Audira Labs. Tell us about Audira Labs. What do you do? What is this?
So, and bottom line, we are what we believe to be a very unique and impactful leadership development firm that really does two things. We create transformative executive coaching engagements with our clients, leaders, and then we also deliver incredibly impactful experiential team workshops. And the hook is that we do something really unique in that we do these services through the lens of music, meaning that we use musical instruments, musical metaphors, musical exercises as a way to help leaders, teams, and organizations amplify their respective leadership.
And how did you start this? And was it extremely nerve-wracking, exciting? What was it like to start this firm?
It was a blast, honestly. And in way of background, I had been, I'd started the business and I'd probably been at it 6 months. And it was at that point fairly traditional in terms of our offering of executive coaching and team workshops. And my wife kind of banged me on the head and said, "Hey, dummy, why haven't you found a way to integrate your passion and background for music?" And so I started thinking about that question and realizing that As a musician, as somebody that's grown up and spent 25 years in corporate leadership roles, and now as a coach, I saw a tremendous amount of parallels that I thought might work really nicely for the leaders we support in terms of music and leadership. And so we then started integrating those concepts into our coaching and into our leadership workshops and made them become very experiential. Meaning rather than just falling asleep listening to a presentation or watching a slide, that it would be allowing people to actually get their hands dirty, so to speak, and roll up their sleeves and learn these leadership experience principles using actual musical instruments and exercises, and then being able to apply them practically into their roles going forward.
And how is that? I want to come to another subject you talk about often, which is leading with passion. But talk for a moment about music and leadership and integrating this And how has that evolved in this virtual world? Or was a lot of your coaching already virtual before this, and leadership coaching virtual before this, so it's not really a big change? Talk for a moment about how this works in today's somewhat virtual world.
Yeah, great question. So the good news, you know, is that is terrible and sad as many aspects of the pandemic have been, we've also recognized as leaders that we always have the opportunity to make find opportunities to take advantage of situations like this. And so very specifically, you know, one of the principles that we believe in strongly at Audir is this idea of being an improvisational leader who learns how to improvise almost like the jazz greats. The reason I mention that is that we had to practice that agility, if you will, transitioning from, you know, a world of in-person coaching, in-person team leadership development to one that's virtual. And so the gift was us having to learn how to do that very quickly and create something that was as impactful, if not more, in what is an incredibly difficult circumstances. And that's exactly what we've done. We've been able to transition everything 100% to virtual, and really making sure that we are creating positive impact for the clients.
You're a brilliant person, sort of University of Chicago MBA, philosophy major from Northwestern. See, I'm so I can't even say it correctly. But talk about philosophy and sort of anything that you learned in college that's been helpful for you in developing your thoughts around business and leadership.
Thank you. I love the question as well. You know, when I was in college, a lot of my friends were engineers. They were going into what we might say are, quote, practical careers, and they would always say, what in the world are you going to do with a philosophy degree? And to your question, you know, what I found it to be incredibly helpful throughout my business career, my coaching career, and as a father, the gift for me is really the gift of being able to think and reflect on issues from a variety of perspectives. It's allowed me to examine, you know, in a very practical way throughout a business career, thinking about strategy. You know, you might not use the word philosophy with the word strategy, but there's a lot of philosophy involved with business strategy, crafting mission, vision, and values, you know, aligning teams, identifying shared purpose, identifying when things are not going as well, how you get back on track. There's a lot of parallels for me that I drew on philosophy. When you're working on relationships, whether it be with clients or teammates, you know, putting yourself in the shoes of other people, absolutely, I was able to kind of draw from the lens of philosophy at looking at things from multiple perspectives. Anyway, so that's always been a gift for me. And quite frankly, very recently with COVID-19 and a lot of the challenges that we've had with social injustice and so forth, I've drawn very heavily on my background in philosophy of thinking about what are my values, what's important, how do I want to lead, what kind of mentor do I want to be for my children. So it's been a gift.
When you think about that, think about Kant and categorical oughts. Are the things you tell your children or your clients, your CEOs that you work with, leaders you work with, here's things you absolutely have to do and cannot do. Are there ever binary things that harken back to your philosophy teachings?
Well, I would start with saying that everything is a choice. You know, it's funny, there's a branch of philosophy called existentialism. And in existentialism, you know, there's an old quote that says, you know, leadership and life and so forth is all about choosing. And even if you don't make a choice, that's in a sense a choice. The reason I mentioned that in relation to leadership is that one of the things that I often invite the leaders that I'm working with to really think about it is to think about the kind of choices they want to make about leading with purpose. Purpose and passion are two of my areas that I find a lot of resonance in. So many of us have spent large parts of our career or parts of our lives perhaps just doing a job because we did it for the money or we kind of fell into it. And I believe we have an opportunity, a choice to say, I'm going to, as a leader, whether it's in my house, as a family person, in my business or in my community, to lead intentionally with passion and purpose. So identifying what is that that mission or purpose of how I want to lead, to what extent, to what purpose, whom do I want to serve? And then what is that source of passion that I want to integrate that inspires me, that can fuel me and those that I want to lead going forward.
Fantastic and fascinating. This leading with passion is a topic you talk about often. Any thoughts for how leaders, all leaders are periodically going through transitions, or they're on their game or they're off their game. They've been hit hard by how COVID-19 affects their business or how it affects their life and how they view things. Any coaching on how you get leaders back to leading with passion, to refuel and refine their passion? Any thoughts along those lines?
Yes, and that's something obviously that I think all of us can relate to in various ways. The first thing I would say, I'd kind of put this into a three-step process, if you will. The first thing is be self-compassionate. We have all been hit incredibly hard in different ways. Some of us have been affected physically with our physical health. Most of us, I would say, have been affected in some way emotionally, in the form of uncertainty and anxiety. And a lot of us perhaps have been affected economically, right? So the first thing is, I would say, give yourself self-compassion and allow yourself permission to say, hey, I may not be able to lead at my best every day, and that's okay, right? The second thing I would say is to really take a step back and listen. I'm big on, we at Ardera are big on this concept of deep listening, listening to ourselves, listening to others. And so listen, take a step back and listen to what's really important to you in terms of that purpose, your why, if you will. And I really would encourage everybody that listens to this podcast, think about your why outside of the particular role or organization or, you know, short-term context you're finding yourself in that greater why. And then third, put it into action, you know, without, you know, give yourself permission to try some things without it having to be perfect, right? Sometimes we'll build up a narrative that when we try things, it's going to be perfect. And if it's not, then we're a failure. I'm very much, using a musical metaphor, a fan of this idea of practice methodology, like learning the flute or learning the piano. It's going to take some time before you're proficient. So as you're trying on, you know, this direction towards your purpose, give yourself permission to, you know, experiment, try some things, see what works, see what doesn't, see where your passion is, and learn and pivot from it, and then take it forward.
That was fantastic. If you don't mind, 30-second summary of those three core points on finding your passion. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what so many leaders are looking for. If they have their passion, everything else tends to fall into place.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always love to start with a question. And it may sound perhaps like obvious, but I think if you really examine it, it can be powerful. I always love to start with the question of, you know, what would you do literally if two things, you couldn't fail and money were not a concern? What would you do on a daily basis if you couldn't fail and money were not a concern? And when you really think about that, you start to say, oh man, well, if money weren't a concern, I'd do X. Or if I knew I couldn't fail, or I didn't worry about what anybody thought, it's clear I would do Y, right? I find questions like that where you really take time to reflect on that important. And here's the most important thing. Don't let the how, or don't let that, what we call the self-talk or the saboteurs, get in the way. Like, oh, but I couldn't, you know, I'd never make any money, or blah, 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 right? Those are all the constraints. I'd really encourage listeners to really think about those earlier questions and put off those constraints and kind of self-talk. And then think about not so much can I or could I, but how might I? And using that kind of experimentation methodology, think about kind of a roadmap to putting it into action.
Well, fantastic. Stephen, just a great pleasure to visit with you today. How can people learn more about Ardera Labs?
Thank you. Two quick ways. One is go to auderalabs.com. We would invite you to check out our great content. And then there's ways to connect with us through our website. You can also email me directly at S, as in Sam, S. Kohler, S-K-O-H-L-E-R, at auderalabs.com. Or you can follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Twitter.
Fantastic. Stephen, thank you so much for joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Just terrific and great what you do. Thank you very much for visiting with us.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.